Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, a trauma therapist and coach, and the founder of Embrace Your Brave. And since this podcast is all about women sharing their stories, I thought it was only right that I start off today by sharing mine. So I'm joined today by my dear friend and teammate, Dottie. And Dottie is a huge reason that I'm here doing this podcast in the first place, and all the brave things that we're doing at Embrace Your Brave. She saw something in me that I hadn't fully seen in myself yet. And she heard that advocacy in my voice and called it out. And she spoke it out loud. And she believed in this vision when it was still taking shape. And she's still showing up and helping us build Embrace Your Brave into something that can reach more and more people with the message of hope, healing, and wholehearted living. I have invited her here today to kick off this podcast by interviewing me. So, Dottie, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for that kind introduction. And I'm so honored to be walking with you on this journey. I think when we first sat down and we kind of started talking, we saw that our visions aligned. And, you know, we both want to help women and reclaim their voice, help empower women. So, and let me congratulate you on the launch of your podcast. This is very exciting.
Thank you. Very exciting. And Thank you for helping me be brave. And brave
A lot of your story inspired me so much. So I was just wondering if you would share with us what inspired you to become a therapist and a coach.
That's a great question, Dottie. Well, it was my own therapy that I kind of got forced into when I experienced my first real crisis, like my first marriage crisis, that I was in such bad shape that I had to get help. And that was really my first experience of going to therapy. I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't functioning, and I had four small kids at home that I had to take care of. And my husband at the time ended up going off to a treatment center for 90 days. So it was like, okay, I have to get some help. So going to that therapy, I would say, is what really kind of it changed my life, because it was the first time that I felt like I mattered. And it's the first time I felt like what I had to say mattered, and my pain mattered, and my story mattered. And it was just because she felt like I mattered. And because she felt like that, then it helped me feel like I mattered. And so that whole experience helped me start to connect to myself. And then I started connecting all the dots to my whole story. Like, it really wasn't until then where I remember when she asked me, like, well, how do you feel? You know, the feeling wheel that you're acquainted with now. And I had no idea what I felt. I was so in tune with maybe what everyone else felt, but asking me what I felt, I'm like, oh, I haven't really thought about that before. Oh, you mean my feelings matter? And so it was just getting connected to myself and then recognizing that the things that were happening in me that day were deeply connected to my story. And it was the first time I really started to even think about where I came from and what I've been through. Growing up for me was difficult because I had a dad that struggled with alcoholism. And so looking back on that now, I can see like where I started to become what everyone else needed me to be in that space and really lose connection with myself. So therapy was really all about, who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, like when they kind of started asking that question, like, who are you? I'm like, I have no idea. You know? Yeah. Because so much of what I've done is just, I don't know, who do you need me to be? And mm-hmm. I'll be that. But it was really like that first time that I was saying, who am I? And really asking that question. And at that age and stage of my life, I kind of view it almost like an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Like this, like, mm-hmm. okay, wait. You
it's
know,
the realization that, you know, I've gone my whole life and really have no clue of who I am, you know, yeah. and what do I want? What do I like?
Right.
Yeah.
That process of like really getting to know myself and really healing, you mm-hmm. know, really starting to heal and reconnect with myself, it helped me understand that we can all heal. And it made me want to be part of helping other women heal. At that time in my life, I remember when the therapist looked at me and was like, have you ever thought about becoming a therapist? And I was like, shut up. Because mm-hmm. all I could think about at that time was like going to grad school. And I'm like, I can't go to grad school. I got my first F in fifth grade. Like, I'm not smart enough for grad mm-hmm. school. And that's all I could think about when she said that. But then it was almost like I knew that that was what I was going to have to do now. And
it's like you couldn't. It's not that you wanted to. You had to do it.
It was really like I was like, well, damn. Now I
have to do it.
You know, now I got to. But I had four kids at home. And the thought of going to grad school was like way out there. But I guess I kind of lost my mind and said, I guess we're doing this. I guess we're doing this thing.
Yeah. So what was grad school like?
Oh, man. You know what? Grad school was really probably one of the most healing experiences for me, like spiritually speaking, because it was a Christian grad school. And they were really what opened my eyes up to like social and cultural understanding people in the context of their story. They had this class there called The Life of the Counselor. And that was like one of my favorite classes because that was really where I started getting a totally different vision of God and a different vision of Jesus than I had growing mm-hmm. up. Because honestly, at this time in my life, from what I had learned about Jesus and God and the church up until that point, my mindset was like, I'm going to have to leave Jesus out of the room if I'm going to go in and help these people that are like so broken with addictions and just, you know, horrible situations and pain. And at the time it was like, I didn't know that Jesus, you know, was okay with that. And so I remember my professor, like, that really helped me get a whole different understanding of the gospel. And he said, the simplicity of the gospel is receive God's love and give it away.
Mm.
And I was like,
beautiful.
Oh.
And simple.
That's so much better. And I'm like, receive God's love and give it away.
Like, it's like such weight lifted off of your shoulders.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. And like, just understanding God to be love and understanding that Jesus is healing. Mm-hmm. And so there is no healing apart from him. Mm-hmm. So I would never sit with someone and help them heal apart from Jesus, because he's the author of healing. You know, mm-hmm. he's the author mm-hmm. of hope and life and love and healing. And so, like, thank God for that experience and that school that I happened to be at that really helped me step more into alignment with knowing, like, that Jesus is the healing.
Yeah.
He's not you know, someone that you got to leave out of the room because it was broken.
Right.
He's the exact person you want to welcome into that brokenness.
Yeah. You know? He's the one that needs to come into the hard places.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
To be able to soften them.
Yeah. So that was where I learned that. And I did come from a lot of spiritual pain. Or what I experienced growing up. So that's why I say my time at Richmond was very healing for me. It was healing because I was doing brave things every day to show up and write 12-page papers at 2 a.m., you know? Like, but it was also so healing, like, from the inside and my relationship with God and my relationship with myself and really, you know, come into terms with some of that so that I could sit with people and help them heal too.
Yeah, because if you're not healed or on your journey to be being healed, then how are you going to heal people?
It doesn't work out very well.
Right. You know? It doesn't work out very well.
If you haven't done your own healing for sure as a therapist, you know, you're going to have a really difficult time helping other people heal.
So having that spiritual transformation at Richmond, how did that help you become a better therapist? I mean, having those experiences to me would really help you in being able to help other people.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. And it's really just like seeing them as people and people that have a story. And, you know, it was at Richmond that I came up with that quote that I now have built Embrace Your Brave upon, which is behind every face is a story to be told, is a voice to be heard, is a soul to be healed and a dream to be discovered. But like that healing was so foundational to me being able to see people in that way. Mm-hmm. And that's how I try to see people every day now. And when I sit with people, I think about them in terms of their story.
Mm-hmm. Well, that quote in and of itself was very, very inspiring to me. All the name Embrace Your Brave says so much in just that little phrase, Embrace Your Brave, you know, because you have to be brave to step out and do any of this, you know. And
tell me
so
about
how did that come about, Embrace Your Brave? Is that just from your own experiences? Like, that's what I did. So,
you know, I think it encompasses what recovery is about. You know, embrace your brave. Every day is a choice. You know, every day is a new choice to embrace your brave or embrace your recovery, embrace what it looks like to, you know, live a life connected to yourself and what's in your best interests. And I mean, that name kind of came to me quickly when I needed to form an LLC and like came in, you know, just in like a day, but it just, you know, really flows well. Like maybe I found out about it that quickly, but it's always kind of, you know, been.
Well, it does definitely encompass who you are, you know, because all of the things that you're doing, building the business, starting coaching programs and all of those kinds of things, it's all very much embracing your brave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's stepping out, it's doing things, even though they're scary.
Mm-hmm.
What was it you said earlier? Something about something, it's something that you always wanted to do, but it's the scariest thing you've ever done.
Oh, this podcast?
Well, this podcast and just about everything else.
About everything else in my life. It's like my dream and my biggest fear collide.
That's
that's like, so it's like we want to do it, Because it's like, you know, it's part of the dream. It's part of like the throw up dream, like my friend says. Like, but it's terrifying, you know? And so it's like those two things colliding together. It's kind of how this feels every day.
You know, but the mission and the vision behind Embrace Your Brave is such a timely one. You know, it's one that's needed. You know, I just think from my own experience, it's such a powerful message for women to realize that they do have a voice, you know, and that they can be empowered to use that voice. It's just a matter of reframing and getting rid of all of those conditions that we've grown up with.
Right.
And
well, and I think that's one of the cool things. Like, it's one of the things, the reasons I love my job so much, right? Because when I'm sitting with these women, it's not about, you know, doing anything for them. It's empowering them to see what they've just haven't seen yet. Like, they, it's like you see them, but they don't see them yet, and you help them see them. And then you help them. Like, I have the coolest job because I literally see women's lives be like transformed. Like, they come in day one, like, have no idea who they are, you know, can barely function. Some of them, you know, just like I was when I first came into therapy. And like, you slowly see them can reconnect to themselves and to their story. And then you see them like take their power back and you see them like really step into who they, like who they are, who they've always been. It's just that life had beaten them down so much that they couldn't even see who they were anymore. And so it's just like the coolest, you know, job to have. But that Embrace Your Brave thing, it's like, it's not enough that I'm doing some of that. Like, I want to help everybody else do that too. Like, whatever that looks like in your life, like, what does it look like to embrace your brave?
Right.
And, you know, when people show up to my office, I'm already like, whoa, let's celebrate that.
That's brave.
That is so brave. Like, you made that phone call. Mm-hmm. You even drove here. You got out of the car.
And you
know, we could have stayed in the car.
That's right.
Then you sat on the couch. And then for many people, like, they're letting me in to their most broken space. Mm-hmm. They've never let anyone into before, you know, and so they're trusting me with that. And then I get like that front row seat of like building them up and empowering them and saying, you matter, your story matters, your pain matters, right? And like connecting with people in the eye. And there's something that just kind of happens, and for many women, they've never been told that before. They've never even realized that like they have a story, and like they matter, and like they have a dream too. You know, it's crazy how almost like foreign that thought is to some people, you know, especially when they first sit down in there. But by the end of the process, they're like dreaming again.
Right. You tend to forget your dreams when you're conditioned to take care of everybody else.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And as they sit and learn and find themselves, yeah, that's when they open up the space to be able to dream again. That's so beautiful. Something I experienced in my own therapy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And just that inspiration behind the quote of behind every face is a story to be told. And, you know, you have always emphasized every face.
Every
face. Everybody has a story, you know, and it's their story. And they make sense in their own story. I think that's very beautiful.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's everyone, right? It's all, you know, I mainly serve women, but it's like, I don't want it to just be women. I want it to be all women. You know, I want it to
Right.
be, you know, I don't want anyone not being included in this. We all have a story and we all make sense in our story if we actually took the time to listen to one another's stories and, like, you know, seeing behind the faces to even get to the story, and then to hear the voices and to, you know, to care and connect as people, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's one of the things missing is, you know, people putting themselves in other people's shoes, you know, and seeing that story, seeing that, yeah, that person has a story and, you know, I'm not writing their story. You know, they're writing their story, so they make sense there. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
And one of my favorite things that you've said, Dottie, it's like when we kind of grew up in that disconnected place, and then we're just like handing over our power and we're handing over our pen. So wherever we go, we're like, here, you tell me who you are. I mean, you tell me who I am.
Right.
Like, letting other people tell us who we are and what we're worth. And like, they're getting to write the story because we haven't realized that it's our pen, you
Yeah,
know? Like,
right.
and we don't have to hand our power over. And so to me, therapy is really about taking back the pen
Yes.
and saying, this is my pen and it's my story. And I'm going to kind of decide what this looks like instead of let everyone else decide what it looks
Right.
like, or everything I've been through define who I am and where I stay.
It was definitely liberating and empowering taking back the pen, you know, and beginning to write my own story. So,
Yeah, I love that. I use that a lot when I'm talking to my clients. I use the pen.
the pen. Yeah.
Yes.
Take your own pen back, girl.
That's right.
So, what do you hope listeners are going to take away from your story and from this podcast?
I think just one, that you can heal. Two, that you're not alone, you know? Everybody's going through something. Everybody's going through hard things. And I think just in general, we've been conditioned to isolate, and we've been conditioned to do that alone and think that we have to do that alone. And I, you know, sometimes it takes one person saying, hey, this is true, for other people to stand up and say, oh, wait, me too, you know? So I'm hoping to kind of create that sense of like belonging, that sense of you're not alone in any of this. And if we can talk about things that maybe you're not going to find somewhere else, you know, then, you know, I would hope that that's what you experience here, you know. It's okay to talk about these things, and you're not alone in it, and you don't have to stay alone in it. We don't really heal in isolation. We need each
Right.
other.
That's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I'm really excited to see as, you know, the podcast unfolds and more of your story, you know, is told, as well as the women that you're going to have on the podcast and their stories. I think, you know, it's going to be very impactful for other women to hear and to really connect with their really themselves, you know, and find themselves, you know,
Yeah.
through that. And that's, I think, what you're hoping is accomplished through this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe an introduction to yourself. You
Yeah.
know, the healing is, you know, the secret ingredient with healing is you. It's just we didn't know. And for those of us that might maybe grew up in some of the more religious circles, losing us was part of what made us holy, you know. The less we could think about ourselves, the more godly we could be. And that's really kind of opposite of healing, because Jesus is healing. The healing that Jesus came to do was to heal us and make us whole. Mm-hmm. But if we're not part of that equation, then it's not healing.
Yes.
Right? And so kind of realizing that you are the person that can heal you.
Yeah.
We don't have to go to other people to heal us. We have everything that we need already inside of us.
Yes.
And
sources inside of us. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the beauty mm-hmm. of God's mm-hmm. design of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we've pretty much gotten away from that, you know, and that we are designed to operate optimally.
Yeah.
And we stay connected to ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I'm excited to like hear more about what you're learning right now in your coaching, mm-hmm. because I know you're getting some insight into even more so mm-hmm. our design, you know, of how we heal and how we're connected to mm-hmm. each other
yeah.
in our healing, kind of taking our power back to actually use those things God's given us to heal.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so I'm really excited about, you know, as podcast goes on, we hear more of your story and how you got to where you are. And thank you for sharing all of that.
Thank you guys so much for joining us and holding space for some of my story. And just remember, you matter, your story matters, your healing matters, and you're not that girl anymore. Hey, friend. Just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.